Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Horius Daf Yud Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We had started a sugya on the previous Omid concerning the Shemen HaMishcha. We indicated, as part of our discussion, that Yehoiachaz, who was a king at the very end of the first Beis HaMikdash period, that he was anointed because of the challenge posed by an elder brother, Yehoiakim. The Gemara asks a question that in our marking system we can see is a long question by looking at the Daf Yud Beis at the top line. To the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text you see a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. All of the lines that follow form the question. It entails a long Tanaic source. The section that's framed off is a Tanaic source. In our Gemara marking system, we tend to frame off all Tanaic literature to set it apart from the rest of the Gemara. In this Tanaic source, we will see that the Shemen HaMishcha was put out of service, was actually hidden during the time of Yoshio HaMelech, Yoshio being the father of Yehoiachaz and Yehoiakim. In other words, at the time that they ascended to office, the oil was no longer around. So how can the Tanaic source that we saw featured on the lower part of Yud Aleph Amid Beis that suggested Yehoiachaz was anointed when the oil of anointing wasn't around anymore? Umi have Shemen HaMishcha, the Gemara asks. V'ho Tanya, Mishe Nignaz Oroin, Nignaz Shemen HaMishcha, V'tzinsenes Hamon, Umakloi Shel Aharoin, Shkedeo Frochel, at the time that the Oron was hidden, and we know that that was hidden during the time of Yoshio HaMelech, along with the Oron, there was hidden the Shemen HaMishcha, and the Tzinsenes Hamon, the flask that contained some mon from the time of the Midbar, and the staff of Aaron with its buds and flowers on it, the argos sheshalchu plishtim doron Yisrael, and the cart in which the plishtim sent a gift to the Jewish people upon returning the Aaron from its state of captivity during one of the wars. Shenemar v'esklei hazov asher hashivosim loy asham tosimu ba'argoz mitzidoi u'shlachtem oisoi v'olach umi gonzo. And who was responsible for putting these things away? Yoshio melech Yehuda gonzo shero shekosav ba'Torah. Yoshio, the king of Yehuda, he is the one that hid them, and that's because he saw a posuk in the Torah that said yelech Hashem oischo v'es malkecho v'chulei. He saw a pasuk in Dvarim that foretold an eventual exile, and that being the case, he didn't want these items to fall into the hands of the conquering forces. Siva v'gonzum, he commanded that they should be put away. Shenemar, the king Yoshio said, "Vayomer l'alavim hamavinim l'chol Yisrael hakadoshim l'Hashem tenu es oron hakodesh b'bayis shebono Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael." Ein lochem maso bakosef ato ivdu es Hashem elokechem ves amo Yisrael. This pasuk, without getting into the literal translation of it, it tells us that Yoshio instructed that the Oron is to be put away. The Omar Rebbe Lozer Asya Shom through Gezerah Shavas, or word comparisons, we conclude that additional items, additional to the Aron, were also put away. And that's through the word comparisons, Shom, you find written by the Aron. And you also have the word Shom in the context of the Tzinsenes Hamon, Asya Mishmeres. You find, once we establish that the Tzinsenes was put away, by the Tzinsenes, the word Mishmeres appears, and that same word appears in the context of the Makloi Shel Aaron, the staff of Aaron, Asya Doros. And likewise, we have another word comparison. You have the word Doros in the context of the Tzinsenes, and also in the context of the oil. So once we establish that the Aron was put away, we can see that the other items were put away as well. So that's the end of the long question. The question then being, how could we say that Yehoahaz was anointed with the Shemen HaMishra when it was no longer around? Omar Rav Papa, Bafarsa Modachya. Bafarsa Modachya, for our purposes, we'll refer to it as pseudo Shemen HaMishra. It was an alternative Shemen HaMishra, if you will. It wasn't the actual material, the actual oil that was produced by Moshe Rabbeinu. And hence, that is what that was used for Yehoahaz. That was, as we said, at a time that the real Shemen HaMishra was no longer around. Tonu Rabbonan, Ketzad Moishrim Es HaMolochim. How are kings appointed? So, the answer is Kemin Nezer. Nezer would be a crown. In other words, the oil was smeared in a circular fashion around his head. V'es HaKoyhanim Kemin Ki. And the Kohen Gadol, who needed to be anointed, was anointed in a ki form. My Kemin Ki. What is referred to by this ki form? Omer of Menashia Bar Gado Kemin Chof Yevoni. The Chof Yevoni is a reference to a Greek letter. And the form of the Greek letter, Rashi has an illustration of that. And what you're looking at in the Rashi, if you notice right across from here, a Greek letter that looks, as you look at it here, it would look like a ches. But for our purposes, this is a view from the profile. The Rashi explains they would take some oil and start from between his eyes and draw the oil, smear the oil over his head to the back of his head, starting from, as we said, from between his eyes. Toni Chada, one source says, "Betchila moitzchim shemen al roshav, ve'alkach noisim lo shemen bein risa'enov." This first source says, and you can see that we've highlighted the two sources with a double underline, that because we want to be able to refer to these two sources as the Gemara goes on a bit later. So the first source says that first they would pour motzchim shem, they pour some oil on his head and then do the application between the eyes. The Tanya Idoch, the second source says, "Betchila noisin loy shemen bein risei enov, v'acharkach motzkim lo shemen al rosho." The other source says first oil was placed between his eyes and then oil was poured on his head. The Gemara points out, Tanoihi, that the issue of how oil is applied is a machlokes tanoim. It's what we just read represents two opinions as far as tanoim are concerned. Iko diamri mashicha adifo. Some give precedence to the smearing. The iko diamri yitzika adifo. And some give precedence to the pouring. At this point, we want to feature explanations for each one of these opinions. And you can see on the side, we have a house form featured. My taimo has berim l'shnei mandorim. These are explanations to the two opinions, binyan seder ha-mashiach al-rosh, regarding the order of the anointing. So the Gemara continues. My taimo demand yomar yitziko adifo. What's the basis of saying that the pouring has precedence? Dichtiv. The pasuk that we will now read has an order to it, and you can see we've included numbers. Number one, Vayitzok Mishemen HaMishcha al Rosh Aharon, Vayimshach Oisoi L'Katshoi. And then it says Vayimshach, that's number two. So that you see, first is a pouring, and then there's a smearing. Uman diomar meshicha vifa mai taimo. What's the basis of saying that the smearing is of greater importance? Kosovar shekein ata moitze etzel klei shores. We find by the surface vessels of the Beis Hamikdash, we find there was only meshicha, there was no pouring. So therefore, it must be that the smearing, the meshicha, is of greater significance. Well, the question then is, according to this opinion, what about the first pasuk, the pasuk that was cited above that indicated that Yitzika was of greater precedence? Who v'hotzi v'yitzok u'besov v'yimshach? Is it not so that the pasuk above featured first Yitzika and then meshicha? And here you're telling me that meshicha is to be done first. So he answers, "Hochi ko'amar." Thusly, you should understand that pasuk that seemed to have Yitzika first. Ma tam vayitzok. Why was Yitzika done? Mishum deviyimshach, because they had already done meshicha. So that's how one should understand that earlier pasuk. Tana Rabbanan. We start a Tanaic source that makes a reference to Tehillim, Perek Kuf Lamed Gimel. In the course of the next few lines of Gemara, there will be citations from this Perek. The entire Perek, Kuf Lamed Gimel in Tehillim, is made up of three psukim. We've included them on the side of the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Kishemen Hatoiv, Yorid Al Hazokon, Zikan Aron V'chulei. The Bryce explains Kemin Shnei Tipe Margolios Hoyutluyos Laron Bizikono. He was anointed with the Shemen Amishcha, and there appeared two drops of oil on his beard that appeared like two pearls. Omar of Popo, Tana. There's another Tanaic source that Rav Popo brings, describing this in greater detail. Kishum is Saper, when Aaron would speak, Oilois V'yoshveis Loi Be'ikr Zikono. These pearls like drops of oil would rise on his beard hairs and arise up to the base of the hair on his face. The Aldover Zeh Hoya Moshe Doyeg. Regarding this matter, Moshe, who anointed his brother Aaron, was concerned. Omar, Moshe said, Shema Chas V'Shol Mo'alti B'Shemen HaMishcha. Maybe I misused the Shemen HaMishcha. Maybe this represents excess oil. And by my having anointed him with too much, I was in effect misusing the oil. And I'm therefore guilty of Me'ila. Yotza Baskoil, the Omro, a heavenly voice came forth and said, Kishemen Hatoiv V'chulei, Ketal Chermon. If you notice the psukim, Kishemen Atov was found at the beginning of Pasuk Beis, and the beginning of Pasuk Gimel says Ketal Chermon. And we explain. Ma Tal Chermon Ein Bo Mi'ilo, just like the dew of Chermon carries with it no Mi'ilo penalty. Af Shemen HaMishcha Shebezakan Aaron Ein Bo Mi'ilo. So too, the oil on the beard of Aaron carries with it no Mi'ilo penalty. Vadayin Hoya Aaron Doyeg. But still, Aaron was concerned. Omar, he said, Shema Moshe lo mo'al. Maybe Moshe is not guilty of mi'ila, aval ani mo'alti. But maybe by my having this extra oil in my beard, I am guilty of mi'ila. Yotza basko v'omro lo, hine matoy v'manoim sheves achim gam yachad. Notice this is also from the same parak. This is Pasuk Aleph. And the Pasuk says that how pleasant it is, brothers that sit together. Ma Moshe loy mo'al, just like Moshe is not guilty of Mila, that we learned a bit earlier in the comparison to the Tal Chermon. Af ato, so to you, Aaron, lo ma'alta, so to you are not guilty of Mi'ila either. Tanu Rabbonan, Ein Moshechem es hamlochim ela al hama'ayon, kidei shetimshech malchusam. kings are not anointed other than by being located, other than an anointing located next to a spring. And this is symbolic of their monarchy lasting, continuing to flow, so to speak, just as the spring continues to flow. Shenemar, in the context of the anointing of Shlomo HaMelech, it says, Vayomer HaMelech Lohem, Chu Imochem Es Avodai Adonechem, Vehoradetem Oisoi El Gichon. David HaMelech instructed them to take Shlomo to the Gichon, which is a spring, and there he would be anointed. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to notice some triangles, a series of triangles appearing. On the side, we've entitled this section called Simona Milsahi, symbolic gestures that serve as signs for things. We see also, as we mentioned, the triangles. We have a mivneh, a structure note. The triangles are pu'ulois shoinois, different actions, kedei legalois ha'osid b'mikrim shoinim, to reveal the future in different cases. Omar Rabbi Ami, hai man deboy leida imasik shose ilo, one who wants to know whether he will live out the year or not. Nisli shroga b'asora yomi debein Rosh Hashanah b'Kippurim. He should light a candle during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Beveso de lo noshiv zika, in a room that there's no wind blowing. Imoshich nehore, if the candle burns out completely, if it uses up all the oil, then neda de masik shasa, he'll know that he'll live out the year. Uman deboy lemevad iska. One who wants to enter some type of business investment and wants to know whether it will be successful or not, Lirbi Tarnagoli should raise a chicken. Ishamin v'shafer maslach. If the chicken gets fat and good and improves, then matzach. It's a sign he'll be successful. Hai man deboy lemeipat l'urcha. Uboy lemeida ichozer v'yosi lebeso ilo. One who wants to take a journey and wants to know whether he'll come back home or not. Neku bebeisa de chavra, he should stand in a dark room. Yichozi babua de babua leida de hodar veosi lebeisa. If he sees the shadow of a shadow, or sometimes babua means the reflection of a reflection, then he knows he will come back. Velav milsahi. The Gemara itself takes issue with these different procedures that we have featured in triangles, and says it's better not to engage in these things altogether. Dilmo chol shadaite umisra mazle. There's a situation that, for example, in this last example, he might not see a babua de babua, and the fact that he, as the Gemara had said, if he sees it, he can rest assured he will return. That does not necessarily mean that if he does not see it, he won't return. The Gemara didn't say that. All the Gemara had said was that if he sees it, he knows he will return. The negation of it wasn't said explicitly. So it could very well be that even if one doesn't see it, he likewise will return. However, the fear is that if a person doesn't notice this babua babua, he's going to get a bad feeling. And this bad feeling will create a chalishus hadas, a situation of despair, and that emotional reaction can have an effect on his eventual outcome. It's called, the Gemara says, Misra Mazle, his mazel becomes weakened or goes bad. Rashi, on the outside column of commentary, fourth line from the top, he says, Valav milsahi, de zimno di afalgav, de les le babu de babu hodar osi. There are times that even if there is no sighting of this babua de babua, he would return. Afilu hochi lo levid hochi, and still he shouldn't do this test. The dilmo lo chozi babua de babua, the fellow might not notice this babua de babua phenomenon. Chol shadaite umisra mazli velo hodar osi, and he'll have this feeling of despair, and as a result of that, not come back. Mishum de misra mazli. He won't return because he ruined his mazel. And how did he ruin his mazel? Through this feeling of despair. Had he not done this, had he not gone into this dark room and attempt to view this Babua de Babua, he wouldn't have this feeling of despair, and his mazel wouldn't have gone back, and he would have come back. Hilkach lo lefe, therefore it's suggested not to do this in the first place. Omar Abai, hashto di amris simona milsehi, now that we've established that different signs have significance, and the first of which we started here was the idea of anointing a king by a spring, which would serve as a sign that his malchus would last. Now that we've established that these kinds of things have significance, the oilom yehi rogil lemechal barei shasa, a person should accustom himself to eat on Rosh Hashanah the following vegetations. We won't engage in translating them, but they are kara, verubia, karsi, vesilka, vetamri. These are items that, to this very day, many people follow this practice and eat special food items, I should say, because some include fish or heads of lambs, which the Gemara itself doesn't mention right here, but this practice is continued because of this idea that they represent something positive. And in the context of our shir, we won't say anything further about that topic. Amalahu Rav Misharshia Livone. We see now as we go on, Rav Misharshia says to his son a series of comments he makes, and we featured on the side of the Gemara Nosei Mivne with the double underlined feature, Eitzos Shel Rav Misharshia Livno Beinyan Limud Torah VeHanhogas HaChayim, different pieces of advice that Rav Misharshia shares with his son regarding Torah study and other elements of life. So he says, number one, Ki Boisu Me'al Umigmuri Kami Rabbeich, when you want to go learn in the presence of your teacher. So Garsu Masniso V'Olu L'Kami Rabbeichu, first get down the Tanaic literature. In other words, prepare for your class, for your shiur, and then go to study. And Rashi points out that by preparing the material ahead of time, you'll be familiar with it, you'll be accustomed to it, and you'll have the wherewithal to ask questions if necessary. Number two, v'chi yasvisu kame, and when you're sitting in his presence, chazu l'pume, take note of looking at his mouth. In other words, don't sit behind him. Sit in a position that you can see his mouth. Dichtiv, v'yu einecha rois es morecha, that your eyes, the pasuk says, your eyes should behold your master. You should see the teacher, not only from the back. V'chi garsisu, and when you go over your learning, Garsu al naro de mayo, chiechi de mashchan, mayo mashchan shmatzaychu. You should go practice. You should review your learning by the riverside, because we just like the water flows, so too your learning will continue to flow. The tivu akilkuli de masa machasya, velo tivu apadne de pumbadisa. Sit by the garbage heaps of the city of Machasya and not by the palaces of Pumbedisa. Rashi, in the outside column of commentary, the Masa Machasya, about halfway down, he says, Havu Tamidei Chachomim Ruim Lohiro, the Tarbus Yofehoya Bohem. In the city of Machasya, there were Torah scholars that had also a nice demeanor to them. Nice conduct and behavior. Avo Popodiso lo havi tarbus ma'alya kolkach. In the town of Popodiso, their behavior was not as acceptable, as pleasant. The Komar lay, and Mishashi was telling his son, Mutav lo lodur ba'ashpa b'masa mechasya. It would be better to live in the low income neighborhoods of Machasya, literally, better to live in the garbage heaps of Machasya, miloder ba'padno de Pumbedisa, better than living in the palaces and the exclusive neighborhoods of Pumbedisa. You can see here the emphasis placed on community, who your neighbors are, who is around you, your environment, your social environment, and how significant that is. Continuing in the Gemara, number five, the Tov Gildana Sarya de Masa Mechasya Lemechal Mikuscha de Rami Kifi. Rashi has two pshatim as far as this issue is concerned. The second pshat that Rashi has, you'll notice in the outside margin there's a comment Istim Aforshi that we have squiggle underlined at the end of the line, and we read the Rashi there, and we call it number two. This is the second pirush he has. Mutav Tochal Gildan Asarya She'ein Demeyim Yikorim. Better to eat fish that are about to rot than that, and they happen to be cheap, inexpensive. Mikusach She'ochlem Oso Ashirim Visorim Hadorim Beromi Kifi. Better than eating kusach, which is a type of dish that is that the wealthy eat, and the wealthy and ministers that live in high places. Klomar b'migdolim v'choymes gedolos l'fi shedmeyim yikorim. And the reason is that one should better to spend less money on food than spending a lot. In other words, if you can get away by spending less money, that's more desirable, and hence this piece of advice. Roma Karni Belokai. This is a posuk that was said by Chana, the mother of Shmuel Hanavi. Shmuel Hanavi was responsible for the anointing of Shaul and subsequently of David. And the Gemara expounds on this posuk, Roma Karni, lo Roma Pachi. Karen is a horn. Horn is can be used like a shofar, can be used as a receptacle. And a pach is also a type of a flask. So in this pasuk, Roma means rise up. And she chose the word karni. The Gemara points out Roma karni velo Roma pachi. Better that she chose to use the term karen, a horn, that my horn should rise and not my flask. She didn't say flask. David Shlomo Shinim Shechu B'Keren. We know that regarding David and his son Shlomo, that were anointed with a keren, the oil that was used to anoint them was held in a keren, in a horn. Nim Shecha Machusan. Their dynasty lasted and will, God willing, will be resuscitated as well. In other words, that's a dynasty that lasts forever. Shaul V'Yehu Shinim Shechu B'Pach. These kings, King Shaul, who was a one-time king, his sons didn't take over in a standard form, we'll say, the monarchy. His dynasty certainly did not last, even if by reading the Psukim and studying it, it may be that one of his sons did serve as king, but it was for a very brief period, and it came to a halt. And Yehu likewise was king of in the northern kingdom, but his dynasty did not last too many generations. They were anointed with a pach, shenim shechu b'pach. The oil that was used to anoint them came from a flask. Lo nim shechu malchusan. Their dynasty did not last. Hence, we understand why Chana, when she was mispalel, she chose the term karni in her tefilos. HaMashuach b'shem HaMishcha v'chulei. The Mishnah made reference to two types of Kohen Godol, one who was anointed with Shem HaMishcha and one who ascended through the wearing of the eight garments. Tonu Rabbonon. Moshiach. This is a posuk from Vayikra, Perek Dalet Posuk Gimel. We've included this on the side of the Gemara. You can see Im HaKohen HaMashiach Yechto L'Ashmas Ha'om V'ikriv Al-Chatos Shechota Par Ben Bokol Tomim V'Hashem L'Chatos. So the posuk used the word Moshiach in it. So Yochol Melech, the source asks, maybe Moshiach is a reference to a king. Talmud Lomar Kohen. The posuk said HaKohen HaMashiach I Kohen Yochol Meruba Begodim. Might the Kohen Gadol referred to in this pasuk refer to one who, this pasuk, let us point out, is a pasuk in the context of bringing the special par Kohen Gadol in the event that he violates one of the averis that carries with it a kores penalty, he would bring a korban chatos, and his korban chatos was a special korban chatos. Which Kohen Gadol brings that? So the Bryce is asking, would it be a Kohen Gadol that wears the eight garments of the Kohen Gadol? Is that sufficient to categorize him as one who would bring the par offering? Talmud Lomar Moshiach. The Pasuk emphasizes the word Moshiach. Well, I Moshiach Yochol Moshiach Milchama. There's another type of high priestly office known as the Moshiach Milchama. This was the special Kohen who accompanied the Jewish army into battle. Is he also someone who would be subject to bringing the par offering in the event that he sinned? Talmud Lomar V'HaKohen HaMoshiach She'eno Moshiach Al Gabov. We're talking about the highest priest, the one above whom there is no other. And with that, we would be excluding the Moshiach Milchama, because as far as the order of hierarchy is concerned, the Moshiach Milchama is subordinate to the high priest that serves in the Beis HaMikdash. My Mashma, how do you see in this Pasuk, V'HaKohen HaMoshiach, that this is the highest office? K'da'omar Rava. Well, we'll borrow an idea from Rava's teaching in a totally unrelated context, the context of the Gid HaNosha. This is a part of the hind leg of a kosher animal that one is forbidden to consume. It's called the Gid HaNosha, and it's found in the thigh of the animal, which is known as the Yerech of the animal. And Rava says, K'da'omar Rava HaYerech HaMiyumenes Shebiyerech. This is a reference to the Gid, that particular part of the right thigh, the right being the stronger thigh. That's where the Gid Hanosh is found. Hocha Nami. So too in our Pasuk, the fact that the word is accompanied by the letter He doesn't say Moshiach, it says HaMoshiach, just like the Yerech word said HaYerech. HaMoshiach means HaMiyumon Shebemeshuchem, which for our purposes would mean the most important one of them, of the anointed Kohanim. The most important one was the Kohen Gadol, who served in the Beis HaMikdash, who practiced the Yom Kippur, who performed the Yom Kippur service, and not the Moshiach Milchama. Omar Mar, Moshiach, Yochol Melech. In the source that we read, two lines up, this is a quote from it, it raised the possibility that Moshiach might be a reference to a king. The Gemara challenges us, how could you have even raised that as a possibility? We're right now in a session, we're quoting from a pasuk that features the Par Ben Bokor offering. Now, we know that a king doesn't bring a Par Ben Bokor, a king brings a Sa'ir, a male goat offering, in the event that he sins. So how can you read this pasuk, which is in the context of a par, and suggest that maybe it means a king? The Gemara now asks, Melech, par hu demaisi, soyer hu demaisi. A king, does he bring a par, which is what's written over here? No, he brings a soyer. So what was the havamina, what was the thought of this source when it raised the question, Yochol Melech? The Gemara answers, Itzterich. I need this source to preclude a melech. Salka daito chamina. I would have thought, without the teaching in this source, I would have thought that it is referring to a king as follows. Al shigigas maisa yovi soyer. The section in the Torah that makes a reference to his bringing a soyer, that's a reference to his performing the avera through a shigigas maisa, namely through a wrongful action alone. However, al helim dovar, if his wrongful action was preceded by an erroneous legal ruling, he would bring a par, which is what's featured in this pasuk. Komash malon, therefore, we have this, the pasuk that teaches kohen, it uses the word kohen hamoshiach, to exclude a king, and therefore we can conclude we're not talking about a king whatsoever, and not to think that the king himself has these two types of situations, shigigas maisa and helem dover. That's not the case. Ein bein kohen moshuach b'shemen ha-mishcha le'meruba begodim ela par habo al kol ha-mitzvus. our Mishnah mentioned that there's only one difference between the Kohen Gadol who is anointed versus the non-anointed Kohen Gadol who ascends to office through wearing of the eight high priest garments. What is the point of difference? The need to bring a par, the special par Kohen Gadol, in the event that he sins. According to our Mishnah, therefore, a merubah begodim would not bring the par haboa kol mitzvahs. With that in mind, the Gemara opens up with a declaration that our Mishnah does not conform to the opinion of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds that a merubah begodim would bring the par haboa kol mitzvahs. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's just glance at the note we've included on the side, the Nosei heading. Masnisin Moni, our Gemara will be preoccupied with trying to figure out who the author of the Mishnah is. Meharesha Mashma Deloka Rebbe Meir. From the first section of the Mishnah, we would conclude that the Mishnah is not according to Rebbe Meir. Haseifa Mashma Kerebbe Meir. But as we go on in looking at the Mishnah, the Seifa of the Mishnah, we will get the impression that it does conform to Rebbe Meir. So our job will be to define or to determine who the author of our Mishnah really is. So turning to the Gemara itself, Masnisin Deloi Kerebbe Meir. We've squiggled underlined the word Delo for emphasis purposes. Our Mishnah would seem is not like Rebbe Meir. De Rebbe Meir. If it were Rebbe Meir HaTanya, but we have a following source that has his opinion in it, and it says, Merubah Begodim, we've dashed underline that to draw your attention to this particular office, the Kohen Gadol who ascended through the wearing of the eight garments, namely he was not anointed, Mevi Par Habo Akol HaMitzvahs, the Rebbe Meir. He is subject to bringing the Par Habo Akol HaMitzvahs, the Par offering in the event that he sins. For lo hodu lo chachomim, the chachomim disagree. My time with Rabbi Meir, what's the basis of his opinion that a merubah begodim also is subject to bringing the par? The sanyo, Moshiach. The source opens up with the pasuk that we referred to before, the anointed one. Ein li elo Moshiach b'shem an amishcha. From the word Moshiach, I would conclude only one who's anointed with the special anointing oil. Merubah begodim inayin. From where would I know that one who wears the eight garments also is subject to bringing the par? Talmud Lomar, HaKohen HaMoshiach. From the fact that the Pasuk doesn't use just the word Moshiach, it says HaKohen HaMoshiach to include the Merubah begodim. B'may ukimto. Before we go any further, let's just point out that we're starting now what is in effect a long question by way of the markings. You can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a shin that's encircled, where we've started a vertical dashed line which continues quite a few lines down on Omid Beis as well. We will need all of these lines before we can conclude the question itself. So let us continue now in the Gemara. B'mai ukimta. How did we establish our Mishnah, authorship of the Mishnah? K'rabbonan. We've said that the Mishnah is the opinion of the Rabbonan. Well, bearing that in mind, Amos Seifa. Let's read the second part of the Mishnah. Ein bein koyen mishamesh l'koyen she'ovar elapar yom ha'kipurim v'asir so'eifa. The Mishnah mentioned that there's no difference between the current official Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Shavar, that's a replacement Kohen Gadol, in the event that some problem arises with the regular officiating Kohen Gadol, there's a replacement Kohen Gadol. He is referred to the Kohen Shavar. There is no difference between them, except for who is it that brings the Par Yom HaKippurim, that's the Par that atones for the Kohen Gadol and the rest of the Kohanim, and the one who brings the Asir Seifa, the daily meal offering known as the Minchas Chavitim. We've written in between the lines that the following, that Holishar Divrayim Kol Mitzvahs Kuno Lov. With regard to all other aspects, there is no difference between the Kohen HaMeshamesh and the Kohen She'ovar. Now, this idea is Ason LeRebbe Meir. This concept fits into Rebbe Meir's scheme of things. Disanya, we have a Tanaic source. As far as our sugya is concerned, we are interested in the first few lines of the source. There will appear a bracketed section that we will skip when we get to it, because that's subsidiary to the current flow of things. After the bracketed section, we'll skip to that which appears right at the end of the source, after the source, to point out the question. So we have the Seifa that suggested that there's no difference between the Kohen Meshamesh and the Kohen Sheovar, with the exception of two details, the Par Yom HaKippurim and the Asir Seifa. However, with regard to everything else, they have the same halachas. And we said that that works out according to Rabbi Meir Desanya, the following source that deals with the idea of a replacement Kohen Gadol. Ira Boipsul B'Kohen Gadol, if some disqualifying issue arose concerning the official Kohen Gadol, the Ovar, and he was pushed out of office, Uminu Kohen Acher Tachtov, and they appointed a replacement Kohen Gadol, Harishon Choser Lavodoso, the first Kohen, the one who experienced the Psul, when the disqualifying element ceases to be, he's returned to office. V'hasheni, here we've squiggled on the line, Hasheni, we want to emphasize this. The Sheni, this is the Kohen Sheovar that we referred to in our Mishnah. What do we have to say about him? Kol mitzvahs kahuna alav, divrei Rabbi Meir. All of the mitzvahs of the kahuna apply to him as well. And we've also underlined Rabbi Meir because we're focusing on Rabbi Meir in our discussion. So we see that the Seifa of our Mishnah does conform to Rabbi Meir. If we skip the bracketed section momentarily, you can see Reisha Rabbanan v'Seifa Rabbi Meir. We have a problem on our hands. We have the first part of the Mishnah follows one opinion, and the second part of the Mishnah follows another opinion. We also have if it was hard to notice where the skip took you to, notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, where the bracketed section began, we noticed a dashed, dotted, vertical line. This is a bracket length indicator marking, making it easier for you to see where you pick up the Gemara afterwards. That having been said, we see the question being the seeming inconsistency of authorship, where the Reisha, which dealt with the difference between the Meruba Begodim and the Kohen Moshiach with regard to the Parabah Kol Mitzvahs, that seemed to go like the Rabbanan, and the Seifa, which talks about the Kohen Sheovar versus the Kohen Meshamesh, seems to go like Rabbi Meir. So are we to conclude that the Reisha is authored by the Rabbanan and the Seifa is authored by Rabbi Meir? To this, the Gemara will provide three answers, and we've indicated that with a series marking. We have a double underline with dots in it. Rav Chisda, you can see after the source, you see Rav Chisda and Rav Yosef and Rava all come to address this issue, the seeming lack of consistency of authorship regarding the Mishnah. Before we get to the answers, though, let's go over the bracketed section. We're talking right now about the issue of what happens when the original Kohen comes back into office. What happens with regard to the Sheni, the replacement fellow? Rabbi Yossi Oimer, continuing with the bracketed section, Rabbi Yossi says, Rishon Chozer Lavadoso, the first one returns to his office. The Sheni, the replacement Kohen, however, Eino Roi, Lola Kohen Godo, Velola Kohen Hedyot. He's in a sort of a state of limbo. He's not fit to serve as Kohen Godo, according to Rabbi Yossi, nor as a regular Kohen either. Om Rabbi Yossi, Maisa B'Yosef Ben Elam, Mitzipori, Shi'ira Boi Psul B'Kohen Godo. It happened with an event happened once involving Yosef Ben Elam from the city of Tzipori, that a Psul developed in the Kohen Godo. The text that we will read is found in the Masoros HaShas in the upper corner of the page, and we're reading as follows under the Gimel heading. It says Uminu Tachtov, and Yosef apparently was appointed. Yosef ben Elam was appointed as a replacement Kohen Gadol. Ubo Maisa Lefnei Chachamim V'Yomru. The issue came to the Chachamim and they ruled. Rishon Chozer Lavadaso. The first one is restored to his office when the psul passes, when the disqualifying element ceases to be a factor. And sheni eino roi lo l'koyin goro v'lo l'koyin hedyo. We turn back to the Tanaic source after the parentheses section. Kohen Gadol, why is he not fit to serve as, why is the replacement Kohen not fit to serve as a Kohen Gadol? Mishum Eva, because of a sense of strife. In other words, if the regular Kohen Gadol has a co-Kohen Gadol on board, it will create a sense of tension between them. And Kohen Hedyot, he also, the replacement Kohen Gadol cannot, doesn't become a regular Kohen either. Mishum Malin B'Kodesh V'Ein Moridin, because of a concept that says that we arise, we rise in holiness, and we don't descend, we don't lower in holiness. And after this individual served, albeit temporarily, as a Kohen Gadol, serving as a Kohen Gadol represents a rising in holiness, a Ha'alah, that's Malin B'Kodesh, and to lower him back to us, to the capacity of a Kohen Hedyot, we can't do that because of the second clause that says Ein Moridin, we don't lower in holiness. And as we saw earlier, we have a situation right now where Reisha Rabbanan V'Seifa Rabbi Meir, as far as our mission is concerned, is the Reisha authored by the Rabbanan and the Seifa by Rabbi Meir, Omar Rav Chisda. In, yes, that's the case, as uncomfortable sounding as it may be, Reisha Rabbanan V'Seifa Rabbi Meir. We, even though we like to have an unnamed Mishnah with a singular authorship, in this case, Rav Chisda says, we have to conclude that there are two authors represented here. Rav Yosef Omar, Rebbe he. Rav Yosef claims that the Mishnah has a singular author, it's Rebbe. V'Nosif lo Aliba Tatanoi. And he teaches the different sections of the Mishnah based on different, on two different Tanaic opinions. With regarding the issue of the Reisha, he chooses the opinion, he adopts as his Shita the opinion of the Rabbanan, and as far as the Seifas is concerned, Rebbe adopts as his opinion Rebbe Meir's opinion. Rava Omar, Rebbe Shimon he. Rava says that the authorship of our Mishnah is that of Rabbi Shimon. The Sovar law, Rabbi Meir Bechada, Upolig Ole Bechada, and he holds like Rabbi Meir with regard to the issue of the Kohen Sheovar, the replacement Kohen has all the mitzvahs kunolav, that's the Sefer section, and he disagrees with Rabbi Meir with regard to the Reisha section. And holds, this is according to Rabbi Shimon, that a meruba begodim does not bring the par habo al mitzvahs. Desanya. We're going to now bring a Tanaic source that represents Shitas Rabbi Shimon, and in this source we will show you that a meruba begodim does not bring the par haboah kol ha-mitzvahs. Now, with the markings, we try to make things a little easier by bracketing off the first section of this source, and you can see with the length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text how long the bracketed section continues. And notice the dashed underline. The kulon, on the first wide line of the Gemara, you see a dashed underline after the brackets, Fekulon noyagin bimruba begodim, chutz mipar hamevi al kol hamitzvus. That's the essential line for our current discussion. In that line, we see that a meruba begodim does not bring par habo al kol mitzvus. Now, in truth, Rabbi Shimon's name doesn't appear in this source. The Gemara will establish, however, after the source, that this is in fact Rabbi Shimon. So for our purposes, what are we saying? We're saying that according to Rabbi Shimon, Meruba Begodim does not bring Par HaBoah Kol HaMitzvahs. That is Rabbi Shimon's opinion, and that is at odds with or differs from Rebbe Meir's opinion. Rebbe Meir, we saw on Amud Aleph, and he said that Meruba Begadim does bring the Par HaBohakol Mitzvahs. And that's what we mean by the statement of the Gemara that Upolig Olei Bechada. Rebbe Shimon disagrees with Rebbe Meir with regard to the issue of the Meruba Begadim and the Par HaBohakol Mitzvahs. All that having been said, we'll now learn the source. We can learn the source inside. We've also included on the outside margin of the Gemara Nosei Hemshech, a topic that's really a continuation of that which appeared before, and we've featured there a summary, so to speak, of the Gemara Shitas Rabbi Shimon, and we note the Kayin Godol Sheovar Kol Mitzvus Kuna Gedola Olav. That's like Rabbi Meir. And the second point of Shitas Rabbi Shimon is Meruba Begadim Eino Mevi Par HaBohakol HaMitzvahs, and we say that's below Karebi Meir. Inside now, being that we've introduced the flow of the Gemara, we can now learn the Gemara straight through. Desanya, Deforim Shebein Kohen Gadol LeKohen Hedyo Eluhain. Differences between the high priest and a standard regular Kohen are as follows. We're going to have a list of things that are characteristic of the Kohen Gadol alone. Par habo akol ha-mitzvahs. This is the par that we've been discussing extensively. The special offering he brings when he issues an erroneous legal ruling and then follows it by a wrongful action that results in a korban chatas. He brings a par offering. Upar yom ha-kippurim. Ve'asiris ha-efa. Velo porea velo porein. If we skip this internal brackets momentarily, we continue with the list. V'ein mitam lekroivim. He doesn't subject himself to tumas meis, even though a close relative of his dies. And the list continues, but let's just go over this internal brackets. The Braisa told us, lo porea, he doesn't allow his hair to grow, as is characteristic of a mourner, which the ordinary standard mourner does. He does not take a haircut. He doesn't take hair, but a Kohen Gadol does. He has to take the haircut once a week, even though he may be in a state of a close relative of his may have died. Velo poreim, it says here, he doesn't tear his clothing, which is what a standard mourner does do. The bracket says, Avol hu, the Kohen Gadol poreim milamata, vahedyot milamala. This will be the subject of a discussion later in the Gemara, the issue of the Kohen Gadol does rend his garments from below, and the standard Kohen from above. The Ein Mitame LeKroivim, he doesn't subject himself to Tumas Meis, even if it involves one of the close relatives. Umuzar Al Habasula, he is commanded to marry only a virgin wife. The Usir Ba'almona, he's not allowed to marry a widow. Umachsir Esorotzeach, upon his own death, the Rotzeach, one who murdered someone unwittingly, that means he's a Rotzeach B'shogei, who had been exiled to a city of refuge, with the death of the Kohen Gadol, and only the Kohen Gadol, not a Kohen Hedyot, the Rotzeach, the one who was exiled, leaves his city of refuge. Umakriv Oinein V'eino Ochel V'eino Cholek. Onein is a state of being when a person's close relative died prior to his burial. The relative, the surviving relative, is called an Onein. Let us say the Kohen Gadol finds himself in this situation where he is an Onein. One of his close relatives died. He is allowed, or he's commanded to continue offering sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash, which is something that a Kohen Hedyot is forbidden to do. So he continues offering sacrifices. However, he doesn't eat from them and he doesn't get a portion of them while he's in that state of aninus. Makriv chelik barosh, he offers first. He precedes any other kohen in the offering of sacrifices. V'notel chelik barosh, and even if he didn't actually offer a particular korban, he can demand first the first portion of a korban that's being distributed. Umeshamish b'shmoyne begodim. He wears 8 garments when he is serving, as opposed to a kohen gadol who wears only 4. The whole avodas yom kippurim ein kshera ela boi, and the yom kippur service is performed and is acceptable only if the kohen gadol does it. Upoter al tumas mikdash v'kadoshav, and he does not bring the korban chatos that is characteristic of one who violates laws of ritual purity with regard to entering the Beis HaMikdash or eating korbanos in a state of tuma. V'kula noyagin b'mruba begodim chutz mipar ha-mevi al kol ha-mitzvahs. A mruba begodim, a kohen gadol who achieved office of high priest through wearing the shmoina, the 8 kohen gadol garments, who was not anointed. So all of the things that were mentioned above in this list of kohen gadol halachas applies to the merubah gadim as well, with the exception of the par, which was actually the first item in the list. The merubah gadim would not bring a par in the event that he commits a chatos worthy sin. The kulon noyagin b'mashiach she'ovar. All of the halachas we mentioned above apply to the replacement kohen gadol as well. Chutz mipar yom kippur v'asir se'efa, the exception of the yom kippur par offering and the minchas chavitim, the daily meal offering. The kulon ein noyagin b'shum mechama. All of the halachas mentioned above do not apply to the kohen that's appointed concerning the Jewish army and his accompanying them into battles. Chutz mi chamisha dvorim hamurim b'parsha, with the exception of 5 points of halacha that are mentioned in the parsha that do apply to a moshuach mechama. These are five things that one finds by a kohen gadol. He will find them also by the moshuach mechama. What are the halachas? Lo poreh v'lo poreim, v'ein metame l'krovim, u'muzar al habasula, v'osur be'almona, u'machzir es horotzeach, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. We mentioned all of these things just a moment before. V'chachomim omrim, eino machzir. Regarding the death of the Moshuach Mechoma and his ability, and that causing the release of Roitzchim from the Orei Miklat, the Chachomim hold that his death will not result in their being freed from their cities of refuge. This whole source was brought in to show that Rabbi Shimon holds, unlike Rabbi Meir, with regard to the Merubah Begodim and the Par Havah Kol HaMitzvahs. Well, the source doesn't have Rabbi Shimon's name in it. The High Mimai de Rabbi Shimon. How do you know that this source is authored by Rabbi Shimon? Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa answers. He says, Man Shamis Lei de Omar Potter Al Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav. Who is the opinion that holds that a kohen gadol is exempt from bringing a sacrifice in the event that he violates tumas mikdash v'kadoshav? Who is known to hold that? Rabbi Shimon. That's Shitas Rabbi Shimon, which was featured in the Gemara on Daf Tes Amid Beis. So with that piece of information, and by the way, we have little arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This was quoted in the source, where you see the dot underlined phrase. This concept of poter al tumas mikdash v'kadoshav is characteristic of Rabbi Shimon. Hence we know that this is a Rabbi Shimon source. Chutz mechamisha dvorim hamurim b'parsha. Now this quote, you can see where it's coming from by noticing the little star that we've drawn in to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. This was in the context of the kohen mashiach mechama. 5 halachas that apply to him. Menohani mili. So from where do we know this? Titanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source, and the source opens up with a posuk from Vayikra Perik Chof Aleph, posuk Yud, and we've included the necessary psukim for appreciating this Gemara on the side of the Gemara. You can see we've written in from Psukim Yud through Yud Gimel. The source says, the Gemara asks, Minohani Mili Detonu Rabbanan, from where do we know that which was taught in the that which was taught in the Mishnah? So we have a Tanaic source, Vakein HaGodol Me'echov, Ze Kohen Gadol. Asher Yutzak al Rosho Shemen Mishcha. Ze Moshuach Milchama. The Pasuk so far is referring to Psukim that are found in Vayikra Chof Aleph Pasuk Yud, are referring to, so far, the Kohen Gadol and the Anointed One for battle purposes. Umile Es Yodol Lilbo Shesa Begodim, Ze Meruba Begodim. That's referring to the Kohen Gadol that was not anointed, but wore the 8 priestly garments. Al Kulon Hu Omer. Regarding all 3 of these types of Kohen Gadols, it says, Roisho Lo Yifro, Uvegodov Lo Yifroim, V'al Kol Nafshis Meis Lo Yavo. So these are points that you'll find in Psukim Yud and Posuk Yud Aleph. Yocho Yukulon Makrivim Oninim. Should we suggest that all of these Kohanim would also be capable of offering sacrifices when they are in a state of aninus, namely when one of their close relatives died before they were buried, would these Kohanim, would all of them offer korbanos? The Gemara answers this. Brisa says no. Talmud Lomar ki nezer shemen mishchas elikov olov. There is a limitation word here, the word olov, which equals olov veloy al chavero. Only the anointed kohen gadol, and not the chavero. We're excluding the moshuach milchama. V'achas shechilkoi hakosuv, and once we've limited the moshuach milchama and stated that he is not makriv oinein, yocho lo yehe metzuva al basula, should we suggest that he's not commanded with regard to the restriction concerning marrying only a virgin? Talmud lomar vihu. So the word vihu comes to include the, and this is at the, you'll notice this is at posuk yud gimel, this comes to include the moshuach milchama as having this restriction of marrying only a basula. Ketanoi, the issue of this issue is subject of a machlokes tanoim. Vehu isha bevisuleo yikach achar shechilei kakosuv riba divrei Rabbi Shmuel. After the pasuk had initially limited hakrovas oinein to a kohen gadol alone, and then with this pasuk in pasuk yirimol vehu comes to include, as we saw, the Meshuach Milchama with regard to the din of Basula. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ein Li Elo Sha'ovar Machmas Kirio. Rabbi Kiva says, I would know that who is considered a full-fledged Kohen Gadol, even only a Kohen Gadol who he might have been removed from office temporarily because of a Keri sighting. This is a flow of Zera, which renders a Kohen Gadol impure and would cause him to be removed from office temporarily. So he would be considered, when he's removed from office, he's a Kohen Gadol She'ovar. He's Ovar Machmas Kirio, so we say that he has the dinim of Kohen Gadol. Machmas Mumin Minayin. How would you know about a Kohen Gadol who was removed from office because of a blemish that developed on his body? How would we know that he is also Mitzuvah on a Basula? Talmud Lomar Vehu. It seems from here that Rabbi Kiva is using the word vahu to include in the basula restriction a kohen she'ovar machmas mumin, but he doesn't go so far as to include a moshuach milchama. So it would seem from our Gemara then that the issue of the kohen moshuach milchama being mitzuvah on a basula is itself a machlokes tanoim. Bominei Rovo Merav Nachmon, Moshiach Shinitstara, Mahu Balmona, a Kohen Gadol who developed Tzoras. What is his din with regard to marrying an Almona? Mitche Dochi o Miftar Potar, how do we look at this situation of his being a Tzoras? There are 2 possibilities. One is called Mitche Dochi, the other is Miftar Potar. Let us glance at the Tosfos HaRosh commentary. You'll notice that there is a Tosfos HaRosh where we've written in a double asterisk to help you find it more easily. And let's read what we've underlined. The Nira Lefarish, reading the Tosfos HaRosh, Mincha Dochi, Mi Amrinon Moshiach shenitzara midcha yidcha mikahuna gedoyla? Do we say that the Moshiach, the Kohen Gadol that developed Saras, is pushed away from the kahuna gedula lefi shenitzara v'efshelo l'shamish kol zman shu mitzora, and he can't serve as long as he is a mitzora mehashdal korchach lo midchi ela midvorem she'efshelo kaimon kishu mitzora? And according to this approach, we're saying that he is, when we say he's pushed out of the kahuna gedola, that's only with regard to things that as a mitzora he cannot do. But things that are not directly related to service in the Beis HaMikdash, we'll say auxiliary halachas that apply to a Kohen Gadol, he still is bound by them, namely the restriction of taking an almana. This idea of taking a woman, of marrying a woman, is something that a mitzora is shayach to, is connected with, and therefore, if you take the approach mitchadachi, we're saying that the Kohen Moshiach, who is mitzora, is still restricted with regard to almana. Oh, Dilma, the Tosfos HaRosh continues, miftar potar mikol din kahuna legamri. Or do we say that once he develops tzaras, he is released entirely from all halachas that concern kahuna gedola, v'arei muter ba'almana? And with that approach, we would say that, well, once he's released from kahuna gedola restrictions, he would be allowed to take an almana. Let's continue with the Gemara. The question we noticed was Rava's question posed to Rav Nachman. Lo hava biyodei. Rav Nachman did not have a response to that. Zimnin hava Yosef Rav Papa v'kome bayalei. On another occasion, Rav Papa was seated and raised this question of the Moshiach Shinitzara. Omalei Huna Breda Rav Nachman the Rav Papa. Huna answers Rav Papa, who raised this very question, with the following source. Tanina. We have the following source. This is quoted just above. You can see we used arrows to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text to help you find where this is a quote from. Ein li elo she'ovar machmas kiryo. The source above that's quoted here says that I know that a Kohen Gadol is mitzuva on a basula. I would know only if he was rendered unfit because of a carry flow. Ovar machmas mumin minayin. How do I know that that if he's removed from office because of blemishes, that he nevertheless is still commanded regarding the basula? Talmud lomar vehu. The word vehu is inclusive of a kohen who is removed of office as a result of mumin. And it may be pointed out that when he develops saras, that's the ultimate type of blemish. So what do we see? That a mitzora has these marital restrictions, and that he's mitzuva on taking dafka basula. And as a result of that, he would not be allowed to take an almona. This would then answer Rav Papa's question. Kom nashke bereshe. Rav Papa was so overjoyed with getting an answer for this that he kissed Huna Breda Rav Nachman on his head, and the Yohiv Le Barte, and even gave his daughter over to Huna as a wife. One can see from this gesture how significant Torah knowledge, acquisition of Torah knowledge, in this case even one point, the Torah in all its vastness, how much value can you assign to one point of Torah? Well, you can see by this gesture that Rav Papa, upon hearing the clarification of a question concerning one point in the vast Torah, was enough to motivate him to give over his daughter to the one who helped him out in getting his answer. The Mishnah. Kohen Gadol Poreim Milamato Vahedyot Milamalo. This Mishnah was actually cited, if you will, or paraphrased in the Tanaic source that we saw above. We had included an internal bracket, say, angular brackets in the source above. That's what this Mishnah is now referring to. Kohen Gadol, he rends his garments in this when he becomes an ovel from below, and the hedyo from above. Kohen Gadol makriv oinein veloy oichel. The Kohen Gadol is expected to offer sacrifices even if he happens to be an Onei, but he is not allowed to eat from those korbanos. V'hedyot lo makri v'lo yichel. And a Kohen Hedyot doesn't offer, and he certainly does not eat when in a state of oneg, aninus. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at the side. We have an osei mivneh heading. We see a diamond featured. Shnei deos b'lamata ulamala dekartoni b'mishnah. Two opinions in explaining the words lamata and lamala that is taught in the Mishnah when the Mishnah says kohen gadol pore milamato vehedyot milamala. What is lamata and what is lamala? Omar Rav, lamata equals lamata mamish. This would be that the kohen gadol tears his priestly garment from the bottom of the article of clothing, from the bottom of the robe, so to speak. Lamala is lamala mamish. Lamala means, when the Mishnah says that the Kohen Hediot is Porim, Milamala means from the top of the garment, from the neck hole of the garment. Ushmuel Omar, Lamata equals Lamata Mekami Sofa. Lamata doesn't mean from the bottom edge of the garment, but it means from below the collar. Namely, not the collar itself, but a rip is made in the garment below the collar. Lamala equals lamala mekami sofa. It means literally at the border of the collar of the garment. Vezevezev et savor, as we just explained, both within Shmuel, lamata and lamala are reference points with regard to the garment, the collar of the garment, the neck hole of the garment. Meisvei, we raise a question from a Tanaic source that deals with halachas of Kriya al hames, tearing in the event of the death of a close relative. The source says, Al kol hamesim kulon, rotso mavdil kami sofa shaloi, rotso eno mavdil kami sofa shaloi. With regard to other relatives, there is an option to tear at the collar and an option not to. Al oviv val imoi mavdil. However, with regard to mother and father, one must tear at the what's called kami sofa. Kevon de be'almo have kera. Since in general a tearing at the what's called kami sofa is considered a tearing, it's considered an official fulfillment of the din of kriya. Kari kan. We should refer to the halacha over here with regard to the Kohen Gadol, the God of Lo Yifrom. The Pasuk says that he is not allowed to rend his garments. The question then is, according to Shmuel, who interprets the Mishnah that says that the Kohen Gadol is Pore Milamata, and Shmuel says that that is an area of Mekami Sofa, It's lamato mikami sofa, and that kind of tearing is considered a tearing in general. How is it that serves as an option for a kohen gadol when the pasuk itself says that he shall not tear his garments? The Gemara answers, Shmuel, that was Matir the Kohen Gadol, a Kriya Kami Sofa, Kerebi Yehuda Svirolei, he holds like the opinion of the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, Diyamar Kol Kera, Sheno Mavdil, Sofa Shalo, any tearing that does not rip the actual border of the garment, Eno Ela Kera Sheltiflis, it's an insignificant type of tearing, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, in general, he would not be Yotze Mitzvah's Kriya. And therefore, since it's a type of tearing that does not fulfill Mitzvah's Kriya, namely, a tearing that does not rip the actual border of the garment, it therefore is allowed for the Kohen Gadol to do. The Gemara asks, Umi Islei the Rabbi Yehuda Kriya the Kohen Gadol? Now, we got finished saying that Shmuel holds that a Kohen Gadol is Korea Kami Sofa. We also said that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Yehuda himself holds that there's no Kriya when discussing a Kohen Gadol, the Hotanya. We have the following source, and Rabbi Yehuda will be emphasizing this source. If you skip ahead a couple of lines, you could see it says, we've dashed underlined, She'eno uprimo kolikar, that there's no tearing whatsoever, according to Rabbi Yehuda, whose name we've underlined. Let's see it now inside. V'hotanya, ilu ne'mar, had the Pasuk said, Roish lo yifra uveged lo yifram, ha'yisi omer, b'roish uveged shel soita ha'kosuf medaber, that the Pasuk is telling us that a Kohen Gadol shall not remove the head covering of the Sota woman and not tear her garments, which is part of the procedure of a suspicious, a morally suspicious woman known as Sota, which involves a procedure in the Beis HaMikdash. We, at this, in the context of our shiur, are not going to delve into that now. However, Talmud Lomar es roisho lo yifra uvegodov lo yifram. It's not talking about the Sota at all. It's talking about the Kohen Gadol himself. She'enoi b'fria uprimo kol ikar. The halachas of letting one's hair grow as a mourner, or the halachas of tearing one's garments, do not apply to him whatsoever. Namely, he is not allowed to allow his hair grow. And what we need to emphasize is he is not allowed to rend his garments. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, eino poreim kederech shebnei adam parmin. Rabbi Yishmael disagrees and says that the Kohen Gadol, he does tear, but just doesn't tear like regular people tear. Elohu milamato, vahedyot milamala. Well, at this point, though, we have a question. If we're tying Shmuel into Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, how can it be that Shmuel explains the tearings of a Kohen Gadol when Rabbi Yehuda himself holds the Kohen Gadol doesn't tear whatsoever? The Gemara answers, Shmuel Sava Lo Rabbi Yehuda Bechada. He holds like Rabbi Yehuda with regard to one aspect of halacha, namely that a tearing is not considered a tearing unless it rips the border itself. Upolig Olei Bechada, and he disagrees with him on the issue of a Kohen Gadol, where Rabbi Yehuda says a Kohen Gadol does not tear whatsoever. Shmuel holds that a Kohen Gadol does tear, just he tears like we saw in Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, who was another Tana. He tears milamato. Mishnah. Before we read the Mishnah, let's note on the side, we have a nosei kloli, a general topic heading, at sofa maseches. That means that until the end of the maseches, we will be dealing with dine kedima, issues of priority, prioritization, precedence, and related matters. Kol hatodir mechavero koidem eschavero. Items that appear with greater regularity than others, that which appears with greater regularity or greater frequency is given precedence. V'chol ha-mekudosh mechavero kodem eschavero, and anything that's holier than us, than something else, is given precedence. To illustrate the issue of mekudosh mechavero, we have the following: par ha-mashiach upar ho-eda ondim. If there are two korbanos in front of the Kohen to process. One is the par of the Kohen Gadol, and the other one is the par of the Beis Din in the event that they issued an erroneous psak. Omdim means they are standing in front of the Kohen. Par HaMashiach Kohen LePar HaEda B'chol Maisov. The par Kohen Mashiach is to be processed before the par HaEda. The Gemara, Minohani Mili. The Gemara is asking, what is the source for the halachas that were featured in the Mishnah? Omra Baye, Dioma Kro, Milvad Oilas Haboiker, Asher Le Oilas Hatomid. This pasuk appears in the context of korbanos that are offered in the Beis HaMikdash, and it says that there are that given certain circumstances, if you have a korban musaf, for example, it's offered after the Oilas HaBoker, after the Tomid Shel Shachar is offered. Michti Ksiv, it says in this pasuk Oilas HaBoker. Oilas HaTomid Lomali, it would seem to be a redundancy. The Oilas HaBoker is the morning Korban Tomid Shel Shachar, which is a Korban Oila that is offered on a daily basis. Why is it necessary to describe it again by the term Oilas HaTomid? Hochi Ko'amar Rachmona, called the Tetira Kodma. The word tomid has to do with constancy or frequency. So the Pasuk is informing us, is stating a general rule that anything that has greater frequency has greater precedence. So that in the event that you have, let us say, the daily sacrifice and a holiday-related sacrifice, a Korban Musaf, so the daily sacrifice would take precedence. V'chol ha-mekudosh mechavero hu kodem es chavero. Minola, from where do we know that he who is that which is of greater holiness or sanctity takes precedence or precedes that which is of lesser sanctity? Minolan, from where do we know this? The Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, the school of Rabbi Shmuel presents the following Tanaic source. The Kidashtoi. This is in the context of dealing with Kohanim. And we learn from this word, the Kidashtoi, the Chol Dover Shebekdusha. All matters of Kedusha, the Kohen is given precedence. Liftoyach Rishon, that means to, according to the Rashi, it means to to read in the Torah first. We would often refer to that as the first Aliyah. Ulevorech Rishon, to lead in a Zimun, in the Birchas HaMazon, he would lead the Birchas HaMazon. Velitol Mona Yofa Rishon, and to take the have the first takes or first choice in choosing a portion. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.